In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't you hate it when complete strangers knock on your door trying to sell you something, especially religion? Actually, I don't. I love it. I enjoy discussing ideas with people, especially religious ones, even those people who come to my home unknown, uninvited, and unannounced, presuming that I want to talk with them about anything, let alone something like religion. But they're asking for it, and they certainly get it, with generous dollops of doctrine so essential to our Christian faith, the faith we say here in the Creed, as we're about to say here at St. Michael's. So last Sunday, after church, just as the family were sitting down to a delicious roast dinner Lisa had worked so hard to prepare, someone rang the bell. My first thought was, oh, come on, not now. How would you like it if I came to your door unannounced at 1 p.m. on a Sunday and interrupted lunch with your family? Then I heard Lisa say the fateful words, can you wait just a minute? I'll get my husband. He's a priest. My heart ran cold. I thought, gee, thanks, Lisa. You and Catherine will just have to enjoy lunch without me. My indignation was misplaced. Far from being like needy people I sometimes encounter, whom I sadly haven't the means to give proper assistance, the man on the doorstep was polite and well-dressed, much better than me, as usual. He was also from the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. Bless him. He'd come not to receive, but to give the gospel, according to not St. John, but Charles Taze Russell. Far from feeling annoyed, though, I was ecstatic. But I now have to wonder how our evangelist felt when Lisa said her husband, the priest, was coming. He knew that we would be Anglican, as she's my wife. So, Anglican priest. Was he nervous? Was he thinking, uh-oh, those guys do theology courses on the Trinity in the Bible, and of course we deny the Trinity? Or was it rather, great, Anglican clergy. These days they're dumbed down and desperate, and all they care about anymore is doing good and helping people feel better about themselves. They don't really believe in anything anymore, and, well, if they do, they certainly couldn't defend it. So I greeted him at the door. I noticed he had his Watchtower translation of the Bible, the New World Translation. I don't know what edition it is up to now. I brought nothing, not a Bible nor even a creed, as I'm sometimes keen to do. In years past, I asked the Jehovah's Witnesses to show me their translation of John chapter 1, verse 1, which you just heard read by Derek, which starts our gospel reading for today. His translation would end, verse 1, the Word was God, and you can even look along if you like, it's not in there, and the Word was a God. That's his. Then I'd try to convince him mine was better. Mine reads, and you can follow it in your reading sheet for sure, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I might try to explain how the Greek works there and all. His translation says the Word is just a God, and which means not the same as God the Father, or Jehovah, as witnesses call him. And Charles Taze Russell, who founded that flavor of the Christian faith, taught his followers that our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, is not, as our creed says, of one being with the Father. For starters, that's not in the Bible. They don't believe in using creeds at all. For them, the Bible alone is enough to establish all beliefs. And according to the Bible, well, Jesus was the first created being. In fact, he could even back his view that the Son was the first created being using today's epistle reading. And you can see that in our translation. It reads the same as his. Exactly. It reads Colossians 1:15. You can even look. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. His translation, word for word, the New Revised, which we use. In fact, I guess just taken for granted, I suppose that verse alone says that Jesus was born. Like the Arians, A-R-I-A-N-S, not those behind the sort of Nazis. The Arians of the 300s, who opposed inserting the words of one being with the Father into the creed because they're not in the Bible. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses say the same thing. They say there was a time when the Son was not. In the beginning, there was no Son. And look, it's right there in the Bible. See? They have a good motive, of course. To say that Jesus is God can be taken to mean there are two gods. And if you throw in the Holy Spirit, then there are three. The Arians and the Jehovah's Witnesses today are basically trying to protect the view that there's only one God, which we believe. It's just that we believe with the church, God is one substance and three persons. One of my Anglican heroes is Stuart Headlam. He tended to hold views which, though now taken for granted, were rather unpopular in his day, the late 1800s. He was a ritualist, for starters, and he also liked to get churches working together. Ah, does that sound familiar? Especially if they believed in the Trinity. It got him falsely labeled, though, a universalist. The view that it doesn't really matter what you believe, we'll all be saved in the end. During Headlam's training curacy in the year 1875, the Bishop of London asked his incumbent, "Does this Stuart believe in the divinity of our Lord?" The vicar replied, "Oh, of course he does. And I think he believes in the divinity of Our Lady also." I did not try to show last week's Sunday visitor any Bible verses supporting the divinity of our Lord. I might once have done, and I have. I never disputed the wording of his translation, battling him Greek for Greek. In fact, I said, we have virtually the same Bibles. The differences don't make that much difference. But I did ask him how he knew his Bible contained all the right books. I explained that in 367, a man named Athanasius, a bishop, wrote a letter that contained the list of books in his Bible, the New Testament canon, the official list, 27 books, the same ours and his, that's been used ever since. Athanasius' list, in fact, became official in the 300s and finalized when the Pope gave his approval. No one disputed it after that. Then I explained that 40 years earlier, before Athanasius wrote his letter that had that list, he convinced the church, the bishops at Nicaea, to believe that Jesus is the same substance as the Father, even though it's not in the Bible. It wasn't enough simply to say, oh, well, let's just agree to disagree whether Jesus is fully divine. So the next question I asked the stranger was, so why do you trust Athanasius and his church to tell you which books belong in your Bible, yet you don't trust Athanasius and his creed to tell you Jesus is God? He had no answer. Our chat did end cordially. I thanked him for coming, wishing him well as he helped people to believe in God. I've heard this morning, actually, that he went on to one of our parishioners, and the man said, it's so nice to come to someone who believes in God. And so I commended him for that. Then he showed me Matthew 7:12, which reads in his translation, it's a good one, "All things, therefore, that you want men to do to you, you also must likewise do to them." And that's the golden rule. And they are about love and about doing good. And that's a good thing. And with that, we can be together. Oh, and you'll also be happy to know that I didn't ask for his address so that I could interrupt his Sunday lunch sometime. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.